getting your lights, I think. Okay. If you would start off, just introduce yourself with I am and what you do here.
Oh, I am Carolyn Meisenheimer. I'm the curator of the Camwatch Young Museum. And actually, I have worked here 25 years as of this year. I tell the people the story that goes with the building and then answer questions and just generally give them what, let them look around and see what's in the building.
I'm going to try a different mic because I'm getting the buzz of the...
Wait, what?
I'm getting a buzz.
A buzz?
From the lights, yeah.
The lights?
Yeah, let me try.
I can stand here and point to them because I don't have to necessarily point to each one. Do you want me to say that over again?
Yeah, I do. All right.
I'm Carolyn Meisenheimer. I'm the curator of the Camwatch Young Museum. This is my 25th year of working with it. I've had lots of enjoyable times in talking with the old-timers that knew Doc Hay and Lung On and the actual stories that they have told me have been very interesting.
When did you start?
1980.
When did the museum start?
1980. I wasn't even born in 1980. Come on, 19. Okay. See, I'm not talking with my pictures, and so I lose the dates. It was 1962. No, that's not right either.
Okay, never mind. Okay, let's just start with what you say on your tour.
Pardon me?
You want to start the tour?
Can I just talk like I do for
yeah.
people?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a picture of John Day in the early 1900s. Our building is here in Chinatown, extended back towards the river. The school is up the street now. They're up the street, the old new one, and then this is Main Street, and this building is still on the corner. Our building in 1909, Lung On did sell the first cars in eastern Oregon. This was their religious building or Joss House, and that board is the one up there on the wall. The Chinese writing is the deity that brings peace and harmony.
Can you say that again, the Chinese writing?
The Chinese writing on the board, which we found out here in the weeds somewhere, actually the deity that brings peace and harmony. The board on the left side is may heaven bless the land across the seas, meaning China, and the one on the right, may heaven bless the land here where they live. The tools in this case are the type of tools they did mining with. They also did their buildings in the building. The paper you see is when the two men bought the business in 1887. The building was built in 1867 by early day Chinese. We find Chinese coins, Chinese money in the building. They used their own money among themselves and while they were in the building most of the time. The tools in the other case are the type of tools they did buildings with. Also some old fireworks, which they would celebrate their Chinese New Year's every New Year's with lots of fireworks. The wooden stools and tables you see throughout the building have been built by the early day Chinese. Some of them have no nails or pegs and still serviceable ones to sit on or use. This is Ying He. Ying He was born in 1887. You know, I'm not doing this right. Ying He. This is a picture of him when he was 19 years old. He came from China and he was in Walla Walla and came here to John Day. Lung On actually was in Baker, and he came to John Day, and they met, and this building was for sale, and they went into the Camwatch Young business together. The other pictures are other Chinese in the building. This is a picture of Lung On. Lung On died in 1940. He was 78 years old. And on the far end, Doc Hay died when he was 89 years old in 1952. And both of these men are buried in the John Day Cemetery across the river. Remains of other Chinese who died in the area were all eventually sent back to China.
Can you do that part, because there was a beep where you said over here to this Doc Hay?
Doc Hay? This picture down here is Doc Hay. Doc Hay actually lived in the building except for his last 4 years. And actually he died in 1952. He is totally blind in the one picture, but not in the other one. And both of these men are buried in the John Day Cemetery across the river.
And what age did he die? I mean, can you tell me what age?
I'm sorry. Doc Hay was, I wish I had done this because I forget the date.
I mean, how old was he when he died?
Anand was 78.
Uh-huh.
Doc Hay was 89.
And where's the cemetery at? Is it over there? Where's the cemetery at?
Cemetery is across the river up on the hill, the Restlawn Cemetery.
Okay.
And as far as we know, these two men and Bob Wah and his wife, who were the people who looked after Doc Hay after Lanan died, and their family lived here, those four are buried up there. And as far as we know, other remains of Chinese were supposedly sent back to China. We did find $23,000 worth of uncashed checks.
Oh, can you say that again? We
died.
Did find? Can you start from we did find?
We found $23,000 worth of uncashed checks after the doctor died. He had never signed and used the checks. And they were found in the building under his bed. We have them, and we have people look at them, and people come up with, oh, this is when Dad was sick, and he come to the house, and Doc A cured him of this, you know, pneumonia or something. And we still have all the uncashed checks.
Is this door locked? Is that door locked?
Now it is.
Okay, because I was going to leave my stuff here.
No,
okay.
It's locked. The things in the case here were not found in the building. Most of these were gifts to people in the area from either one of the men. And then since the museum opened in 77, people have been donating things back to the building. All the rest of the artifacts from this door to the front door are the original building and original artifacts.
Can you describe this room?
This room was the kitchen on this end and also the bunk beds down on this end. We do know that opium smoking was done in the building. The bunk beds were used for the opium smoking. They would pay their money for the privilege, and it was a business, so they would sleep and then they would get up and go their way. I don't believe there was any addiction type of opium in this building, and it did help to blacken up the building.
Oh, you mean from the smoke? Is that why it's
well,
dark?
The whole building was used for cooking and everything else, and so, you know, it is old. So, therefore, if we didn't clean our house very well, they would get blackened up from dirt and stuff. But I imagine the opium did have something, because it was legal till 1909. And after that, they no longer did it. So, you know, the early years, and then the other Chinese would pay to come in here and smoke the opium. So it was all legally done as far as we know.
It's very dark in here.
Yes, it is a dark building. They were one of the first buildings to have electricity. Where we have a hanging bulb, we still have a 25-watt bulb on the old system, and we have three of those in the building. And actually, they not only... the top bunk is, this one is the only original bedding we have in the area. Chinese, or in the building, excuse me. The Chinese never had a mattress, just mats and then their blankets over. We did add old quilts to the other ones because the mice and chipmunks had been in the building. The cage on the floor is the type of cage they could catch. A large... small size animals, rats or like that, And then actually, I read they do eat them in China, but I don't know exactly what they did with them here. They did cook on the wood stove. Also, we have a very large flock. Doc, when he first started using his medicines, he cooked your herbs up for you and gave you the liquid, and then he started giving you the herbs, and you did the cooking at home. The pots are heavy pots. They made their own utensils, and they also made the iron. The hole in the iron went over the buttons. They never ironed around a button. And they would bring their own blacksmith with them so they could make tools and things of their own.
Look, that's a creaky floor.
This is the old original board, so you're creaking on the old floor. We don't generally, it's cold is why it's creaking. We find the cavers in all rooms in the building. We know it was a very useful tool. It was also a means of defense. Someone came in and gave them a problem. They could reach for one of those and say, go home. And everybody did go home. Chinese wines as well as medicine liquors was found in the ceramic type of jars. They did make a cooler out of this little window. It had metal on the outside, so they lined it with metal and used it like a cooler. And then they had different various cooking utensils around.
How tall would you say the ceiling is?
Funny.
How tall would you say the ceiling
is? How tall? You mean height-wise? I've never measured it, but 7 feet, maybe. This one does slant. The other one inside is not over 10 feet.
Okay, so it's bigger in there then.
They did actually have their shrine to the kitchen god behind the stove. They would have little cups for wine or tea, and then we have orange and a pomegranate, and then they would light joss sticks. And the pretty cloth on the wall goes to the shrine. They had their own pump water inside the building, as well as they put a block in the floor, and they would fill the wood box in the daytime and then split wood in the house at night. They did have a fear of going outside at night.
Why? Pardon me? Why?
Generally a spirit fear, but in a strange country, going out at night wasn't exactly what the Chinese did. We do find American products on our shelves. They did adapt to American things, and actually they used Chinese. They did raise their own gardens outside, so they did say as much Chinese. And there were big woven sacks which rice came in. And they're looking at the store things, they would order sacks of rice. So they pretty well kept to their own diets as well as adapted to American things. Now I talk back here. I don't know if you can hear through the plexiglass or not, but you could come in there with me if it's easier. This is where Doc Hay would come and fix your herbs and medicines. He had 500 different Chinese herbs on the shelf. We have them in cigar boxes or metal boxes. They are all labeled. We do know what 250 of the 500 are used for. And actually, most of them would be in the form of a tea. You would get so many and boil it up and make your tea and then drink your tea according to his directions. Or you might have gotten some kind of animal parts, deer horns, turtle shell, might have been ground up into powder and put in your medicine. Or you could have gotten a cicada bugs along with some Chinese lizard ground up and put in your medicine.
How many bugs do you think are in there?
Cicadas. We don't have them in Oregon here, but they have them in other states and middle states. And it's just the shell that the bug hatches out of. And all of these things would be put into a, wrapped up in paper, and you would boil them. The medicine bottles are very small. They're still using a lot of these medicines in China. Their pills were very small. And you could have gotten a bottle of medicine along with your herbal tea. And this was the type of things that he would use for cures. He did have rattlesnakes in jars of alcohol. And this would be used in some kind of a cure also. And, of course, they use the abacus for any kind of math or figuring. Have an abacus in both the store and this part of the building.
Do you mind just making some sounds with that? Just
funny?
Yes. Or just, I think they would do it like this.
I've read the book on how to do it, but I don't.
Okay. Do you mind just making some sounds, though?
Yeah, actually, when you count so many of these, and then you push one over. And then you every time you get, this is five, you get one. And then another five, you get two. And then you add up down here, and you just keep on going and over. And if you're doing hundreds or whatever, you just vary it.
Can you just make the sound without without speaking?
Like you're using it? Or
yeah, just use it without talking about
the
it.
Oh, the clicking.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
I just want to get sound effect.
Just make it very loud. Maybe that's. And, of course, he would weigh out with a scale in this part of the building.
Okay, listen, thank you. So, are there herbs in all of these boxes?
I would have to say most of them have something in them. Actually, like I said, 500 have been identified. And we do know what there's 500 altogether, and we do know what 220 are used for. And this was done through a Chinese man who did the translations. And some of them, the tins are square tins. They made the tins out of different things. And then this particular one is what we would call saffron in our herbs. And then you could have most any kind of things. This one looks like a dried shell of some sort of a plant with the nut maybe in it. And you could have gotten rocks or bones or some other kind of a bug or something that, you know, he used in medicine. We just don't know exactly all the things that are in them.
Great.
And they are still using, they are still using these in China today. Chinese doctors in the United States still using them. Some of them are, I won't say outdated, but maybe harder to get, and they intertwine. And actually, the few I'll talk about, Doc Hayes' medicines, as long as we're here, we have had some of them looked at, the Chinese. All of his prescriptions were in Chinese, so we haven't had them all, you know, identified. But the ones that we have had identified, I've had some Chinese person look into the things. The Chinese are still using those type of things for the same illness today from what we can determine. And hopefully throughout years to come when we can have a building for Chinese to come and do more translations, more of it will be done. But the Chinese medicines healed. And as far as we know, this is what he used to heal all the people that he healed.
Wonderful. I think that was it. Okay. Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
This was Doc Hayes' bedroom. Actually, it was under this bed that they found the $23,000 worth of uncashed checks. The bedding isn't the original, needless to say. Mice and chipmunks did eat up bedding and papers. The clothing, Chinese clothing. We don't know exactly who wore it. All of the Chinese clothing has been sewn by hand. The things on the nightstand were dock-hazed. And actually, he has a flower pot with joss sticks, which he burned before he went to bed. He was considered the priest of the building for the main shrine. The wooden chest, the type of chest they brought belongings from China. The Chinese shoes you see are brand new. Where they came from, who sold them or who used them, we don't really know. And of course, the old slippers and things were not cased. And it's the smallest room in the building. And it was under that bed, of course, all those checks were found, the largest amount. When you came to Dake, children were always giving peanut butter kisses. He gave the children kisses, and if you didn't bring the kids with you, he'd put them in your pockets and send it home with you. We have Chinese boxes and things that were found in the storeroom up on the shelf. We also have, this is one of the first liquor, American liquor lodges in the building. They did sell American liquor. And we also found 93 bottles of liquor that were put away hid when Prohibition started.
So when people come, when people came here as a store.
Yeah, I should explain this.
Yeah, part. How did they walk in? And
the main door, I generally do that at the end.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's all right.
That's right.
This room is the storeroom. And as you can see, we have wooden boxes. Everything used to come in a wooden box and then gradually went to cardboard boxes.
Can you read some of the labels from here? Because these are all original boxes, right?
We have Chinese boxes, which I don't know exactly what came in them, but either herbs or Chinese tea. We also have one Japan tea during the war. Perhaps they couldn't get stuff from China. The American products, that Mount Hood Soap Company box from Portland, Oregon, has never been opened. It still has the original soap. And the Royal Bacon Powder box has never been opened. And so those are two well-known old American products. Duck Soap It Swims, how about Procter & Gamble bought out that company. And then we have old cans that would have had syrups in them. And then sugar would come in sacks, in boxes.
Do you mind reading, though, the Chinese, these two Chinese?
I can't tell you what it says.
Oh, no, it says Hot Feng production in Canton, China. Just read the English, if you could.
On the bottom box?
Yeah, on both boxes.
See, I don't have my glasses.
Oh, okay, I'll just read it then. Hot Feng, F-U-N-M-G, production in Canton, China. Yan Nin Tong, Chinese Medicine, 807 Grant Avenue, San Francisco, California.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't wear glasses generally.
Oh, no, I just wanted to record it.
And basically, you could even buy a case of something. They would sell it by the case, or they would put it out on their store shelves. And basically, this would be a storage room, what it was used for. Looks like that lantern has been chipped. What happened that you got from underneath that thing? You weren't that way the last time I was in here. Don't fall out. Everything is old in this building, so we sort of kind of... Actually, this is the main storeroom, along with the store products and the American products. And then this is also the main shrine in the building. When they no longer had enough Chinese to attend their church building, they did away with it, and this shrine was in that, and they moved it back here. The four hangings go to the shrine. They would get to...
Okay. Hold on, can you wait till I get there? Okay.
They would get to... light a joss stick, and then they would get a can of fortune stick and shake it up and down till one fell out, look it up in the book, and tell their fortune.
Those are I Ching sticks, aren't they?
Some of them are. There are four different cans, and each one, I'm told, is different. But this was the shrine in the, and I'm sure when it was in their original church building, it was more well kept and ornate, and then better, more hangings in the building. The things we see on the shelves, we do have empty liquor bottles, and they sold American liquor for a long time, as well as products. Bacon powders, KC bacon powder, you could get a 50-cent can or a 25-cent can. And then you could buy any kind of tea. MJB put out tea, as well as all the tea products in the building. Tobaccos.
Yeah, Prince Albert in a can.
Pardon me?
Yeah, Prince Albert in a can.
Yeah, Prince Albert in a can, and ours have never been opened. We got more. We got a whole box of them in there that has never been opened. And then along with the old-type tobaccos, and then they had never threw anything away, actually. They did make their own candles. Candlelight was one of the first lights in the building. So they would take these and take one of these.
What are those?
How they made their candles. It's cotton or a cotton base on a stick.
It looks like a giant Q-tip.
They would dip them in wax and then hang them this way to dry. And then cut the tip off and then you'd burn your candle. And then see, it would be like these. So they could make their own candles for their shrines or also the candles. Then they went to lanterns for use, and then gradually 25-watt bulbs.
What do you think most of these products, are they what were left after the 1940s then?
Yeah, 1930s. Some of them go back to the Casey, and then some of them go back to the 20s. I believe the fact that we find so many different types, when a new thing came out, they got the new thing and put the old thing back, basically. The fact that all these tobaccos are full, you know, and the same with a lot of the bacon powder, all the tea things, everything you see are full. So when one product came, a new one came out, they got another one. The cigar boxes. I don't know that they really smoke cigars, but half of those boxes in the herb room were cigar boxes, empty ones. This was the store counter. This main table here was packed with things, actually. These are the type of cans that the opium came in. The opium pipes, you would actually... this is the only one we have in the building, really.
Would you describe that?
This is a wooden one, and it's a stick, a long stick of a branch of a tree, and it has a very fine hole going all the way up through the top. And what you would do with your opium, this doorknob thing, what I call like a doorknob, actually you would, it was a business, so the person running the business would take a ball of the opium out of the can. It was like tar. And they would put it on this, twirl it into a ball, and then hold it over an open candle flame or something. When it got to smoking, they dropped it into the doorknob type thing. I'm going to use that because... And then when it got to smoking, they inverted it with the pipe. And then the man would smoke it till it was gone. That's why it was a business. It wasn't like our tobaccos. Today you light it up and sit back. And all of our cans are legally into the United States, and it was done legally. After it became illegal, it was no longer done in the building.
Are these empty cans?
Yeah, they're all empty. We don't keep any opium in the building, but it has the date, duty paid, where it came from, the sailing ship, and how much five tails, whatever it is, that they paid to get it into the United States. And we have about 30 empty cans in the building. It was a productive building, as far as opium was smoking for the Chinese. The different jars and things are emptied, but those are different products that they sold, and you could come in and buy your own canning jars, old-type canning jars. This was the store section. These bars on the other side, they tell me when the store was open for business, they would slide into the wall, and this would be the store counter you did it with. The Chinese were gamblers. One of the gambling games that we have a lot of in the building is their dominoes. They're large dominoes, and they were played with the black and white beads and dice. And it evidently was, of course, with money. The other type of game, which was was fan-tan. You would take the brass thing and put so many coins underneath it. And then they would bet on the coins, rake out so many, and what was left was won the bet. So they were gamblers, but that was part of their pastime in China, and they did it here also. And Americans adapted. We have card games, American card games, as well as the others. They did use chopped marks, which we call a chop mark, a rubber mark for their names and their businesses. And then they believed in the sticks. Sometimes this would be done before the shrine. They would drop the sticks, and if a round and a flat side came up, your answer yes. If the two round sides came up, no. And one of each, maybe. So this would control what you were going to get in your fortune, so to speak. And then we had different things of... We don't have any full bottles, but we do have one of the empty bottles that during Prohibition were found in the building. This was our American drugstore, so to speak. You couldn't buy toothpaste, but you could get tooth powder in the can. This one, Gladstone's tooth powder, and then this one is... antiseptic tooth powder put out by Detroit, Michigan, the Palmolive Colgate people. You could buy your candles, Christmas candles, in a box, and then they came in a hold. You could put them in the holder, light it for a little, and see them on your tree. We also have all different kinds of Epsom salts and things, which American people use for their medicines on the medicine, you know, the American side. And then we do have some liver pills as well as some other type of things. How about my favorite liniment bottle here, HH liniment. The paper is real long, and on one side it says what you use it for you, the other side what you use for your horse. And that gives us an idea of the American things. And then, of course, we have American products. Maxwell House coffee, these are all full, was good to the last drop then, just like today, MJB coffee, even a 2.5 pound of Schilling coffee, and tea, and this, and peanut butter, and you could have bought marshmallows in the early 1900s.
In a can?
In a can. They're little ones. And basically, this was their store, part of the building. And then this picture over here, we believe that they sent money back to China, and they were in favor of Sun Yat-sen. This is Sun Yat-sen, Chiang Kai-shek, and Madam Sun Yat-sen, important dignitaries of the Republic of China, and somewhere among the boxes of papers, there's supposed to be a return deal from China telling us when they sent the money back. Our front door, as you can see, was well locked, as well as a wooden bolt in it. I went across to open it from the inside, and the lock. It also was lined with metal, and our whole building is stone on the outside, as well as the doors were metal. These are heavy doors. And then they had screen doors to keep bugs out. And basically, they did have fears of outside, whether it was American or not. We do have one bullet hole in the door. They say the Americans would shoot up Chinatown once in a while on Saturday night and have not a malicious time, but have a scaring time for the Chinese. And basically, when you come in, this is the same wooden floor that's been down in the building all the years.
So it was unusual to have a metal door here then?
All the windows on the original part of the building have metal on the outside. And then they could close these heavier metal doors. These, nothing could penetrate. And then they had the metal on this door.
But was it unusual for that time for people to have
Americans
metal?
Americans didn't put metal on
can
their
you
door.
Say that again?
Only the Chinese, as far as I know.
Oh, can you say that again, the Americans?
The Americans had wooden doors, as far as I know, unless it was a cellar. If they had a stone cellar, they might have had a metal door on it. I haven't visited very many of them, but most of the time your cellar would be in back of your house, so you wouldn't need a door. But as far as we know, this one might say it was fortified with metal on the outside and the stone, and it helped the building last. And of course, we have to take into consideration when the building was built, 1860s, there was no such thing as window glass to be accessible. So you had to have something on the outside. They did have a wooden shutter.
Oh, do we want to close this door now? Or
you can leave it open if you want.
Oh, I was just thinking of the traffic noise.
This window here illustrates their window. All the windows in the building slide. And in this one, this is the little metal one on the porch. We have a glass one in it now, but that wooden piece there, like a stone piece, you would slide it out, then slide your glass one out and put the wooden one in for the winter. And that was probably before glass came. Then when they started getting the glass one, you could have a choice. Open the metal one outside and have your window inside.
Now, can I look at the bedroom again?
Sure.
Now, where was Lung-Ung's bedroom?
Lung-Ung's bedroom was in the first room we were in.
Oh, okay.
Basically, that room and the attic part of the building was built by our men after around 1900. So he would have had to occupy a bunk bed or sleep on the floor. But this was noted as Jacques's bedroom. The wallpaper, Sears Roebuck, 1909. It cost 11 cents for two rolls. It's lasted quite well. There was a leak in the building, so it is had been damaged before we even came into the building. And as far as we know, we might say Jacques had the only American bed type with a flat spring, and of course the mice and the chipmunks did away with bedding and stuff in the building.
You mean the mice and the chipmunks before you opened the museum, not during while they were...
It was locked up for 20 years with nobody in it.
Can you say that again?
The museum was locked up for 20 years with nobody in it. 1980, when Dockade left, they shut the building up, so it was locked from 1952
when he died. Yeah. And are these his
the
clothes?
Clothing is all.
Oh, start from the clothing.
The type of clothing they wore. Now, just who wore it or who made it, I don't know. But every bit of it is sewn by hand, and I have looked with a magnifying glass to determine it was hand sewing, not machine sewing. We do know Dockade and Lung-Ung adapted to American clothing. Dockade would wear woolen pants and white shirts, and Lung-Ung was a gambler or a wanderer, and he dressed more, in fact, some people say a ladies' man, and he would wear hats, and Dockade always wore a black derby hat, but actually they adapted to American. In the trunk we had some long underwear, woolen underwear for winter. So they did adapt to American clothing. And just who did make the Chinese clothing, we have no way of knowing. It did survive is the main thing.
Okay.
The history of the building, and then they get to look around, ask questions. Then we do have scrapbooks and the checkbooks. We didn't put them out yet, but they are generally in the back room. The papers and things, this is a sailing ship, goes back in the early, late 1800s from Seattle. And this poem is on the back of it. The Chinese writings in the building, some of them have been translated. It would be like we hung pictures up. They wrote sayings to boost the spirits. Their own personal spirits is what I mean. You know, good spirits, I should say. And everything, this one, see now, this one does have the upstairs. And the upstairs is not used at all.
Oh, there's an upstairs to this.
Yeah. They added the upstairs in that first room, but we don't just use that for storage. Actually, when they did the restoration, they found out they didn't build that up there. They hoisted a house up there and put the roof on it, and that was it. They probably were going to keep, after Chinatown was burned down and stuff, they probably thought, well, the Chinese would come back and have a place to stay.
Now, in July, when you said there's going to be another wing or something, or they're building
something?
No, we
haven't. The state parks people, they have leased a building up by the school.
Is it close to here?
It's not open yet. It opens in July.
I know, but is it close to here, or how
it's
far away?
It's up at the school, up at the street.
Oh, okay. All right. So it is close. All right. And what's going to be in there? Do you know? Mm-hmm. What's going to be in there?
That building?
Yeah.
Everything that we can't have in here.
Okay.
Namely, what's in 11 boxes, using it for translations.
Okay. Sorry. So if you would say your name starting with I, you know, I'm,
oh, okay.
And just tell me about your memory.
Okay. I am Thelma Kite, and what I'm trying to remember is that we lived out of town probably 12 miles back in the hills, and I had earaches a lot. And my parents would bring me to Dr. Hay. The earaches.
How long ago was that? I mean, not to date yourself, but how old were you? And
I'm 80. I'm 80 years old. And this was probably, maybe I was only 3 or 4 years old. I don't remember very well. I remember I was scared to death of the Chinese people because I'd never been around them. And we would ride to town in a hack, if people know what that is, like a wagon, but it's smaller. And I'm trying to think. One thing I could remember, the doctor would give me candy to try to get me over, but I'd hide behind my mother's skirt and reach around to take the candy because I was, like I say, I was scared. But I can just remember a little bit about the room we were in. I remember there was a tall stool. I'm sure there was a tall stool that he was on. And maybe a cage, kind of like a cage. But a lot of it I can't remember. I remember being teased by relatives about the Chinese doctor giving me kisses, which was the candy kisses. But I know one thing, it did help the earache, And I didn't have to have drops in my ear. They just used something that you rubbed on. But maybe it scared the earache out of me. I don't know. But anyway, I'm trying to think of the other things. Oh, another thing, my stepfather would get, it was like, not like tea leaves, but a whole mess of different barks and things, and take that home and cook it and then drink the tea from it. I do remember that a little bit, and it smelled different. I'm trying to think what the smell was. I can't remember. Not like castoria, but something like that. And that's about all I can tell you that I remember. I remember where their graveyard was, across from where I live now, on the hill. But I'm, as far as remembering names and a lot of things, I don't at all, because I was too young.
Did you? Did they take you to the what's now the museum? Did you go to the store?
Yes, that's where I went. Was where the. Well, it was in the front of where the museum is now.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember what he gave you or what he did for your ear?
All I remember was it was in a little square bottle, probably maybe 2 inches high, with a cork, if I remember correctly. And you just put some on your hand and rubbed around the ear and inside the ear canal. And that was it.
And what time period do you think this was? Just guessing, you know.
Wait, just a minute. It could have been like 1926 or 7 somewhere. I'm just, like I say, just guessing.
And do you? Did you ever go back to him, or did your family ever go back for anything other medicine?
The only thing that I can't remember if they ever went. Maybe my stepfather might have went back for more of the. Whatever he boiled it up in a dish pan, actually, these herbs and whatever it was. But I don't remember him going back, because we lived so far out, we didn't go to town much, for groceries and things like that.
How far away out of town did you live?
Do you know where Pine Creek is?
Mm-mm.
Between John Day and Prairie City? You turn to right and go up Pine Creek. We lived past the last house.
It's about like 30 miles or something? Or?
No, it wasn't that far. I'm guessing from here, 12 or 15 miles, something like that.
And so you went in sort of a horse and buggy?
Mm-hmm.
So that would have taken probably half the day, wouldn't it?
Well, we left early in the morning. We'd leave real early in the morning and then buy things for lunch and have lunch on the way home, and it would take up the day. My mother do her shopping for a sack of flour, sack of sugar, whatever was needed, and that sort of thing. But it's different than nowadays. I put a piece in the paper about the schoolhouse, how far we had to go to school.
How far?
My son, who lives in Tigard, Oregon, I had no idea. I told him I thought I'd heard different ones say it was 2 or 3 miles and this sort of thing. But he used the satellite and told me, Mom, it's 2 3/4 miles as the crow flies, 3 miles as you're going up and down the hills and this sort of thing to school. And we walked most of the time until my brother was old enough to work out, and then he brought me a little roan mare to ride to school. So that was a lot better.
Yeah, different times then, huh? Yeah. Were there any other doctors around?
Yes, there was. Now, maybe this was later. I'm not sure it's right at the same date, but there was a Dr. Fell in Canyon City. But this might have been at a later date, because I wasn't old enough to remember. And there was a doctor in Prairie City, but I don't remember his name. In fact, I think they tried to get him when I was born. Finally, my aunt delivered me. My mother was a midwife, and she'd done a lot of that around our community. So She could almost do it herself if, you know. But I can't remember if they did get a doctor. It seemed like one doctor at Prairie City, I remember saying his name was Dr. Myers or something like that.
Do you remember when Doc Hay died and what it was like for the community at that time?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, we moved away for, we were down to Robe River for a few years, so I did miss out on some of the in-between times.
Okay, well, thanks so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it will help you much.
Oh, I think it will.
If I had a little better memory.
I think you
but I'm not
good.
Real sure on...
Where were the graves before?
Do you know where the laundromat is on the west end of John Day? Okay, do you know where the Ace Hardware is?
I don't know where anything is. I just got here last night, so...
Oh, okay. It's on the hill behind, well, kind of behind Ace Hardware on the west end of town.
Why'd they move them?
I'm not sure why they moved them from that graveyard.
No, I didn't. I'll ask Carolyn that.
There
I
was
know.
Quite a few graves there at that. Yeah. I can remember one long time ago.
Hmm.
There was.